Do you have repair projects that you've been putting off, whether it's basement waterproofing, concrete raising, structural repairs, or attic insulation? PermaSeal provides quality work and free inspections. Don't wait. Call PermaSeal 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
Collegiately speaking.
Walks into the end zone.
Touchdown.
Punches to the end zone.
Touchdown.
This is Collegiately Speaking. With the voice of Northwestern football and basketball, Dave Enning, and former Northwestern star quarterback, Dan Persa, is Collegiately Speaking. Let's go.
Welcome to another season of Collegiately Speaking, our weekly podcast focusing on what's happening around the Northwestern Wildcats. Dave Enning with former Wildcats quarterback, Dan Persa, for another season. Dan, good to be back with you. I hope everything is good in your world this week.
Everything's great. It's great to have football back, that's for sure.
Isn't it? What a great weekend of football, except for the Wildcats, obviously. Coming up, we're going to visit with one of the up-and-coming defensive standouts and another good linebacker for the Wildcats, junior Braden Bruss, and our new sideline reporter at our WGN radio broadcast, former Wildcat defensive lineman Jake Saunders. But certainly not the start we expected from this group Saturday in New Orleans. And I guess when you have a game like this, Dan, the thing that is going to stand out and the thing that's going to get talked about the most is being -5 in turnover margin, especially when you have no takeaways by your defense and all 5 turnovers were committed by your new highly regarded quarterback. It's just kind of baffling. I don't think anybody really expected a performance like this, because I think that the expectation was this team is better. And here you have 15 transfers coming in, and you've got kind of a clean slate to start the season against a good team, a bowl team from a year ago, and a team that a lot of people think is going to be good again this year. But certainly, when you look at the performance on Saturday, what stands out to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think to your point, you're not gonna win any games or get close to winning any games losing the turnover battle 5-0, and you know, especially having all of those turnovers come from your quarterback. And to your earlier point, you know, usually when you lose the battle, that the turnover battle that much, you'll be lucky to lose by 20. Usually it's 40. So I think that the thing that stood out to me is I do agree with your thought that this team is more talented. Preston Stone is definitely a better thrower than Northwestern's had in a couple of years. You could see that on the field, given the long throws he was making and the conviction which he made them. But at the same time, like a couple of his interceptions, pretty much all of them, you're left scratching your head. He's kind of just throwing the ball up, right? You know, the first one, he had some pressure and could have been a miscommunication. Some D-backs made some good plays here or there, but the one where, you know, I think he was trying to throw the ball away, you got to make sure that thing hits the stands and isn't catchable. So, you know, I think it's just a question of the decision-making. I think another glaring weakness, or maybe, a point for improvement for Northwestern, is just wide receivers. It was a big question coming into the season. I think they had a little bit of talent with Wilde and co there, but it's just a question of is there enough separation, and is Preston beginning to force the ball? A lot more questions than answers. I thought the defense played relatively well given their situation, being put in tough positions pretty much the entire game. It leads you to get a little bit of a lopsided outing, but I think there's a ton of talent on the defensive side as well, and the D-backs played pretty well. Tulane clearly played harder and had more conviction, especially, early to late in the game. It's certainly a game you're going to look back at the end of the season and wish you played better, because it's a gettable game. They have to bounce back. So I think I'm really going to look towards, Preston and the offense to see what they have the rest of the season. Cause outside of next week, it doesn't get any easier. So we'll see what happens.
Could it be that, and not looking here for excuses for Stone or anything, it just was, here's a guy who's only thrown 8 interceptions in his career, and he throws 4 in this game. And it's not like he was playing at a lower level of college football. So is it a question of first game, he's out there trying to prove that he belongs here, he's a captain, he's a starter, his first year in the program, and it just maybe just kind of trying to do too much?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it could be rust. It could be a lot of things. I think the mentality of a quarterback, right? If once you throw one interception, you start to say, okay, I got to take care of the ball, especially the first one where it wasn't even close and he kind of just threw it up. You'd think that brings you back down to earth. But after the second one and the third one and so-and-so, you just start to wonder. It's like you gotta play a little bit more conservative, not conservative to not make mistakes, but not throwing up the 50-50 balls or forcing things and taking what the defense has given you. You know, I think a little bit of criticism deserves to be placed on the play calling as well, of not giving him a little bit better, more opportunities for easy throws. But I don't know. I think it was just a tough outing in general, and not playing for a year is certainly hard, right? There's no excuse, but you can't replicate playing in big time college football, right? And he missed an entire year effectively. So, I expected some rust, but not five turnovers of rust.
Now, one area of the Wildcat offense, which I think showed pretty well, was their ability to run the ball. And, if you go back, if you look at as a team, they averaged 2.8 yards per rushing attempt. But take out the sack yardage there and the three running backs, Cam Porter, Joe Hyman, and Caleb Komolafe averaged 5.1, and Porter a robust 7.7 a carry. I mean, and none of the three was ever dropped behind the line of scrimmage. I mean, I think that's something that against a good defensive front that you can take and you can build on.
100%. I think I was really impressed by Komolafe's just more confidence. Obviously, last year being his first year, he's figuring things out. But he just looked like a much more confident runner, especially in a lot of those third and shorts when he got the first down on second effort. You know what you're going to get from Cam and Joseph Hyman. They're just really spectacular players with a lot of experience. But kind of having that three-headed monster back there is something you really need to feed. I get getting away from the running game once you're down, but I don't know. It's not an insurmountable lead, right? 20 points isn't crazy, and it kind of stayed stagnant for the whole second half. So I think you know to take some pressure off the offensive line, and when you know it's a catch-up passing situation, you can't get away from the run, especially when, to your point, you're averaging 5 yards a carry and not getting any tackles for loss. So I think it's something they need to go back to, especially on away games and as it gets colder, is really relying on that steady dose of those three backs.
Let's talk about defense. And keep in mind, they played without one of their best defensive players in Damon Walters, who unfortunately is sidelined by a lower body injury. And you had your safeties, Rob Fitzgerald and Garner Wallace, were two of your top three tacklers. And, of course, Mac Uline was Mac Uline, right? Aside from that drive at the start of the third quarter, I thought that kind of was a sort of a backbreaker, because if you look at that, it was a long scoring drive. You were down 20-3 at halftime. And so you're thinking, okay, Tulane's going to get the ball first in the third quarter. Maybe you jump back and you get them off the field quickly, you score, and all of a sudden you're right back in the game. And they held the ball for roughly half the third quarter, and granted, the defense held them to a field goal, but that, in my mind, as tough as that long run by the quarterback Retzloff was at the end of the first half, that was also one of those that it's tough to overcome.
Agreed, especially as you pointed out, long drives when you're already down, it's a problem. Look, at the end of the day, you got to give Tulane some credit. Their quarterback Retzlaff played pretty well, their receivers Hayes and Justin Reed, I thought were dynamic and played well to boot. So, they didn't make a ton of mistakes, right? So I think you got to give them credit for playing smart football and making big plays when they were out there. But at the same time, you're hoping the Northwestern defense could get a couple more sacks or a couple more turnovers here or there to lighten the load. But you got to give them credit.
Well, we know what's coming up here: a Western Illinois team that lost 52-3 on Friday night in Champaign, and they come in for a game Friday night at Northwestern Medicine Field at Martin Stadium. That's your FCS opponent, and needless to say, there have been enough battles with FCS teams over the years, and you got a head coach who coached at that level and knows that this game could make that program, let alone make their season. So coming off a game like that, I know we talk about it all the time. You got to shake it off. The players say we got to flush it and whatever. But, I mean, it seems like in this case that is absolutely the case with Western coming in.
100%. And to your point, you know, Northwestern doesn't need to be reminded about playing FCS schools with their full vigor. So, yeah, I think I don't know. The only thing we're going to learn from this game is if it's close. We know Northwestern really has a problem. But, you know, hopefully they just get back to running the ball and, you know, exert, you know, their physicality on Western. And I think they will. What I'm really looking to see is just how Preston kind of bounces back, his attitude, his conviction throwing the ball. Hopefully it's a short outing and a lot of guys get to get some work in. But they got to figure it out quickly, right? With the looming, opponent in 2 weeks here. So yeah, I think it's a good bounce back game if there's such a thing. So interested to see how the team responds.
All right. And now we welcome in number 33 of the Wildcats, Braden Bruss, linebacker from Glendora, California, joining us. Dave Bennett, Dan Persa here on Collegiately Speaking. Braden, congratulations on your first career start on Saturday. You played, I believe, 2 years. You played 23 games coming into this season, and now you got to run out there as a starter. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was super exciting. You know, like you said, it's I've been getting to play a little bit on special teams and stuff, but getting to go out there knowing you're actually going to get to start and be out there with your brothers, you know, it was just awesome and very surreal. And, you know, I'm just very grateful, you know, being here and watching guys like, you know, Bryce Gallagher and Xander Mueller go out there and just dominate and, you know, get to be out there playing it. It was just awesome to get to go in there and then step into that role. So, yeah, just super grateful.
Well, you made the start against Tulane and a game that obviously did not go your way. What was your take on how things went on Saturday and what do you take away from it?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously it did not go, things did not go the way that we would have liked them to go. You know, defensively, I think there are times when we could have done a better job of, you know, communicating with one another. Obviously tackling, we could do a much better job tackling. But really I think it's just, you know, trusting, you know, in, you know, your job and just executing, you know, your responsibility on the defense. I think, you know, coming away from that game, I think we realized, like, we know we have, you know, a really good defense. We know we have a really good offense. You know, we just got to put it all together. And we know that, you know, there's going to be games where, you know, we need the offense more, you know, games where we're struggling, and there's going to be games where the offense needs us more. And so it's really just about putting it all together, special teams included, all three phases of the game, and really, you know, be able to execute our jobs at the level needed to come away with a win. So I think, you know, it's not like we lost any confidence. It was just, you know, it was a tough first game, and, you know, we took the corrections that we needed to take. We flushed it, and now our full focus is on Western Illinois.
You mentioned you played with and behind a couple pretty good linebackers in Bryce Gallagher and Xander Mueller, and you also play for one, Tim McGargle, who was a pretty good linebacker in himself. But what was it like playing and learning from Bryce and Xander? What did you get from those guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, ultimately, they really just set the standard. Not only for our linebacker room, but for our entire team. Both are, you know, Bryce, two-time captain, Xander, captain, great leaders. And I mean, I learned so much. I mean, those guys were so awesome in, you know, taking me under their wing, whether that was, you know, helping me learn the defense, whether that was technique out on the field, or whether it was just, you know, hanging out outside of the facility. So I absolutely love those guys. They're some of my closest friends. But, yeah, I mean, they definitely demonstrated the standard of what it means to be a Northwestern linebacker, what it means to be a leader on the team, and kind of just that responsibility that it has and everything that comes with it, you know, the work that you have to put in with it, you know, the preparation that goes into each week. So, yeah, I mean, I absolutely love those guys. I learned so much from them, and I'm just so grateful for everything that, you know, they were able to help me with and help me grow into the, you know, the player I am today.
And now you're playing alongside another guy cut from that mold in Mac Uihlein. Is there anybody more intense than Mac Uihlein is?
That, yeah, I mean, honestly, it's hard for me to find one on our team. I mean, that dude is just all in all the time, full 100%. He gives everything for this program. He leads very well. And I'm very grateful that I've gotten to be with him these past couple of years and honestly learn a lot from him too. And he's actually, you know, he's my roommate. He's one of my closest friends here on the team. And so I have nothing but respect for Mac and the way that he, you know, carries himself on and off the field, the way that he can, you know, lead this defense. And, you know, he's out there, you know, making all the calls. He's our Mike linebacker. So, yeah, I mean, he's obviously awesome. And like you said, cut from the same cloth. I mean, him, Xander, Bryce, they all have the same traits. So it's good to see that, you know, modeled, you know, in a leadership position as a captain, to really, you know, for me and for all the linebackers and for the whole defense to really get to see and learn and grow from.
We're talking to Wildcat linebacker Braden Russ here on Collegiately Speaking. Braden, you're from Glendora, California. I believe that's the L.A. area, not too far from Pasadena, right? It's sort of near the San Gabriels?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
So how'd you end up at Northwestern?
That's funny. That's a good question. To be honest, they were actually one of the first schools that reached out to me originally coming out of high school, kind of after my sophomore year, kind of when COVID was starting. They reached out, one of the recruiting staff, and I started kind of talking to them. And funny enough, they actually ended up being the last school that ended up actually offering me a scholarship. But yeah, I mean, you know, it is funny. A lot of people get confused. I have, you know, I actually have Midwest roots. I was born in Michigan, and actually lived there till I was five, and majority of my family lives there. So I grew up coming out to the Midwest. So, you know, being out here wasn't something that was foreign to me. But yeah, I mean, through the recruiting process, you know, I think I valued the fact that, you know, they were able to be a, you know, a successful Big Ten program, you know, athletically, but then also, you know, top tier school academically. I think that really stuck out. Coach Fitz recruited me here with Coach McGargle. And I mean, I just knew, you know, after getting to really talk to and connect and meet with those guys that, you know, they were men that I would want to be coached under and that I would want to, you know, I think that really would maximize me as a player. So at the end of the day, I think it was an easy decision. Obviously it's, you know, farther away from home, which, you know, not, you don't get to see your family as much, but I'm still just super grateful that I got to have the opportunity to just be out here and to learn and grow under those guys and to be with all the, you know, the guys on the team that we have today.
All right, and I know you want to go watch film. I'll let you go. One question I got to ask you about this. According to Northwestern Athletic Communications, you finished fourth place in your age group at the 2019 World CrossFit Games. All right, I tried CrossFit one time and kicked my butt. Now I'm a lot older than you, and I'm not a Division I athlete, but like, how do you get to the World CrossFit Games, and how involved were you in that sport?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's definitely, it takes a lot. It takes a lot of sacrifice. I think that's actually something that's kind of been able to help me with my football journey, is just kind of from a young age, because I did that when I was 15. It kind of taught me a lot about, you know, discipline. It taught me that, you know, if you know, you're going to have to work hard if you want to do something. I had decided when I was about 13 years old or so that I really wanted to compete in the CrossFit Games. And, you know, I had a family member, a cousin who had competed quite a bit in the CrossFit Games. And so, you know, I kind of was looking up to him and was like, yeah, man, this is something I want to do. So, I mean, it took, you know, about 2 years of, you know, hard training. It was early mornings, you know, it was getting in there after school, working out, you know, working out before football practice. And so it took a lot, and, you know, it was hard in that moment. You know, you kind of question if that's really something you want to do. But yeah, I'm glad that I stuck it out and got to go compete when I was 15. And it's definitely something that, you know, when everything's said and done with football, I think, you know, I might, you know, get back into. So it's a lot of fun. I love the community aspect. Obviously, from a workout perspective, it's great. But I do think it helped me a lot with the discipline aspect that, you know, has helped me get to where I am today.
Well, congratulations on getting to where you are today and to getting to fourth place. That's pretty impressive for a 15-year-old to do, or anybody of any age for that matter. Brayden, I'll let you go watch film now. I really appreciate your time. Good luck on Friday against Western Illinois, and we'll see you at Northwestern Medicine Field.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me on. Go Cats.
All right, Dan, let's bring in another member of our WGN radio crew now, our brand new sideline reporter. He made his debut on Saturday in New Orleans, former Wildcat defensive lineman Jake Saunders. Jake, how'd you like being on this side of the microphone?
Hey, Dave and Dan, thanks for having me. And Dave, you pointed it out early, I had to learn a quick lesson about getting out of the way of the cheerleaders on the sideline. got so locked into delivering the keys to the game that I was standing right in the way of the band and cheerleaders. So it was a learning experience, but I had a blast being down there and being a part of it for sure.
Well, it's not the easiest game to have your maiden voyage on, because things certainly did not go the Wildcats' way on Saturday. But you're on the sidelines. You're kind of in the middle of it down there. What was your sense of the reaction of the team to what was happening on the field?
Well, personally, I was surprised how they came out. You know, I felt like in a lot of places we had upgraded the roster on the offensive side of the ball. And seeing the turnovers as frequently as they happened, you know, it's not something that we expected out of Preston Stone. It's not in his DNA. He's played a lot of football, and turnovers were not one thing that stuck out. I think he only had eight interceptions total in his career going into that game. So I think there was some shock. We saw an early response by the offense, driving down that 13-play drive to get a field goal on the board, and it felt like things were moving in the right direction. But I'll say on the second half, after that long Tulane drive, long grinding 8-minute drive where they scored that final field goal, it kind of sucked the energy out of the sideline. So the energy was a little bit lower in the second half. I felt like, you know, watching warmups, everyone came out ready to go. Football's back. Here we go. But the energy was definitely low in the second half.
Jake, thanks again for joining us. Dan Percy here. Yeah, maybe talk a little bit more about, you know, just the vibe from Preston after each one of the turnovers, the ups and downs, and then really like the interplay between offense and defense. As you know, they're completely separate sides of the ball, but you know, there can be some tension that builds when there is, you know, such a difference in performance from each side. So yeah, maybe start with Preston's overall attitude throughout the game, and then if you saw anything kind of bubble up between the two sides of the ball.
Yeah, nothing really bubble up between tension on the two sides. I can tell you the defense looked like they were getting tired of running back out there so often in the second half. The time of possession was getting a little bit out of control. And early in the first half, you know, Preston seemed focused and locked in and quiet. I think he was surprised at some of the mistakes that he was making. And then in the second half, after that final pick, there was a moment when I walked by the bench and he was just sitting there, head in hands, really just taking a moment for himself to think about what had happened. You know, I feel like what I was seeing from him was maybe some decisions that were maybe being made pre-snap about where he was going to go with the ball. Looking down his first read a little bit too long, maybe looking for easy completions later in the game because they weren't coming in the first half. And I think it led to some forced throws. So, you know, he's an experienced player. He's been away from football for a long time. So it was more silence. I think he understands that he needs to play better in the next game for sure.
Yeah, that makes sense. Did any guys stick out on offense or defense from a leadership standpoint? Obviously, didn't go the way that they were hoping for, but some voices that got louder, you know, at the beginning of the game and then throughout the game, that were trying to kind of pull everybody up by their bootstraps.
Yeah, I feel like the defensive line had great energy on the sideline the entire game. Talk about energy on the field. I feel like somebody that stuck out for sure was Robert Fitzgerald, who was running like his hair was on fire, and I feel like he played really, really tough. On the offensive side of the ball, I feel like consistency, the person that stuck out was Griffin Wilde. You know, somebody that was consistently getting open for Preston. I felt like, you know, the energy was okay. It didn't feel like the boat was being rocked too much on the sideline. It felt like everyone understood even going into the second half that they weren't out of this game, even though things hadn't gone their way. You know, 20-3 coming out of half, you just need to get a stop or two and all of a sudden you're back in the game. So it was pretty even keeled. It didn't feel like there was much panic. And again, after that final drive, that first drive rather by Tulane to start the third quarter, it just felt like the energy was sucked out of the sideline.
Well, I hope you stayed hydrated Saturday. You're down there. It's hot. You're a big guy, right? But Debbie, you're used to that, right? You played some tough hot road games over the years.
Definitely. Yeah, 100%. I feel like it was hurting me more than maybe the guys down there. I was, you know, these guys have gone through camp. They've been through the heat. It was my first experience being back down there on the hot turf. And, you know, funny enough, I talked to Peter Ritz, the nutritionist, and he told me in preparation for the hot game, they actually brought some immersion blenders to blend up the ice in the Gatorade to make more of a slushy or a snow cone for the guys. So I heard that before the game and I was like, I got to get eyes on where that cooler is. That's something I would have loved to get a handle on. It was hot, not as hot as I thought it was going to be, but I definitely could have used a change of shirt afterwards.
Well, listen, I don't think you're going to have that issue Friday night at Northwestern Medicine Field. It's going to be a beautiful night from all accounts. Temperatures in the 60s, should be a perfect night. And you'll be a home turf, Jake. So that'll be good, right? You'll be back in familiar territory.
Definitely. I went to a couple of games at the temporary stadium last year. And in the best possible way, it feels like a Friday night light high school environment, in the sense that you're right on the field, you can see everything better than you can see in a normal stadium, and the fact that we're here on Friday nights, it's really going to feel like Friday night lights, so it'll be good to be home.
Will be. Hey, Jake, we'll let you go. Thanks. We'll see you Friday night.
All righty. Thanks, Dave. We'll see you Friday.
Sounds good. There's Jake Saunders, our new sideline reporter on Wildcat football, and it will be Western Illinois Friday night at Northwestern Medicine Field. 52-3 was the final in Champaign last Friday as the Leathernecks made their appearance, their first, and it was a pretty lopsided game, as the score would indicate. 440 yards of offense for Illinois, and Western only averaged 161. But you have to be on guard, Dan, right? I mean, you got to be ready for games like this.
100%, especially after the performance against Tulane, and hopefully Preston, the offense bounce back and the defense continues to play well. But obviously a good bounce back game and hopefully a quick outing for some of the starters.
Well, good to be back with you. We'll do this again next week before you know who comes to Northwestern Medicine Field a week from Saturday, the Oregon Ducks. That should be a lot of fun, but we'll talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dan. And that will do it for this week's edition of Collegiately Speaking. Thanks to our producer, Jack Heinrich. For Dan Persa, I'm Dave Ennett, and we'll talk to you again on Friday evening, 6:30 kickoff, 6 p.m. Central Time on WGN and wherever you hear our broadcasts for the Wildcats and the Leathernecks. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you then.